Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This year is dedicated to the memory of my father, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan. A year has gone by, and I'd like to continue to dedicate the shiurim until such time as we have other requests around the table. This past Shabbos, there was a very interesting scenario that happened. And sometimes you wonder if indeed God is putting this in the world so I can give a shiur. But to be more precise, it's God doing it so that it meets Parshat HaShavua. I was in a certain shul on Shabbos, and unfortunately, there was some sort of a blackout during the week, so the timers that were set on the wrong time. So instead of the heat going on before davening started, we started davening and the heat wasn't on yet. And people were putting on their coats and getting a little agitated and cold, and it was very cold. So indeed, someone there said, "Hey, no problem, here's my son. He's 6 years old, he'll pull it on, he'll take care of the Shabbos clock." So they looked around the room, and everyone didn't know, yes, no, maybe. Certain people said, why not? Other people said, maybe not, but I'll turn my eyes and pretend that someone else did it.
Because he's six.
If
it would have been two, it might have been different.
And no, we'll see in a minute. And finally, the gentleman asked me, and I told him in a very nice way, I believe, in a diplomatic way, I think it might be bad education to encourage your son to desecrate Shabbos. However, it was interesting because he wasn't about to do a biblical prohibition, but rather a rabbinic one. We're talking about electricity without a filament. No metal was getting hot. So it's a derabanan minus, probably, except for the Chazon Ish. In general, it's a derabanan minus. So that's what I want to talk about today. And what I remembered was the story on the top of the page that I'd like to read with you. One Shabbos in Williamsburg, Rabbi Yaakov intervened to stop a father who was slapping his young son. So, a great rabbi named Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, died in 1986, 2 weeks before Rav Moshe died. They were very, very close. He's walking in Williamsburg and he sees a father slapping his kid. And he stops the father from hitting his kid. Child abuse. But this story in the art school book called Rav Yaakov, The Life and Times of HaGaon, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, is not about child abuse. A different idea went through Rav Yaakov's head. The students asked him, "What's the story?" He says, a talus fig was lying nearby on the ground. And Rabbi Yaakov deduced, see this is a Ga'inish mind, that the boy was refusing to carry it to shul because it was Shabbos. So you all know what happened. The father was walking to shul, no Eruv. His talus fig fell down on the floor. He can't pick it up because, anyone?
He's going to carry it.
You can't carry. What is the prohibitions involved to?
Picking it up and putting it down.
First of all, picking it up in the Reshut HaRabim and eventually bringing it into Shul, Reshut HaYachid. Second prohibition.
Is it considered Reshut HaRabim though?
We'll get to that.
Check it.
Carmelis is a Reshut HaRabim de Rabbanan.
Oh, yeah?
Exactly. You're not allowed to take something for Amot from Reshut HaRabim on Shabbos, not just bring it in and out from one domain to another. So this father can't Mechal Shabbos, so he tells his son to do it. And his son says, it's Shabbos. And the father gets very upset and slaps him in the face that he said, God forbid it, Shabbos. Well, this time the father was not trying to force a child to do something prematurely, but punishing him for not wanting to do something, which would be an Avera if he was an adult. Rabbi Yaakov sharply rebuked the father, asking him, how can you hit a child for not wanting to desecrate the Shabbos? I think that's a beautiful story. That's the story that went through my mind, because I haven't dealt with this sugya in years. Very simply because we don't encourage our kids to Mechal Shabbos. But having said that, it is Parshat HaShavua, and we'll see. Maybe indeed the father was right in the sense that he told his kid, "You carry it," or maybe not. Yeah.
Could either of them have worn it?
What?
Could they have put it on as a talus and therefore?
If it was on before you left the house, and it's on you when you get into shul, there's no problem because you're wearing it as a lavush. However, you can't put it on the Reshus HaRabim. Okay. Anyway, who was right?
You should have put on the towel before you.
Of course, you know.
Didn't.
Everyone knows what. You know what a chacham balayla is?
Yeah, I know.
A chacham balayla is someone that tells you should have. That's in Jewish called onaat dvarim, a biblical prohibition. When someone buys a computer and comes and says, "Here, I bought a computer," and you look at it, "I could have got it to you for 1,000 shekel cheaper," and walks away. That's onaat dvarim. Definition of onaat dvarim: making someone feel bad for no reason, just to make him feel bad. Anyway,
you could tell them I paid 1,000 shekels more.
I think this is a very, very practical issue, especially when indeed things don't go right on Shabbos. Indeed, in this particular instance, it could very well be what I've mentioned earlier, that you could have asked a non-Jew because it was actually a rabbinic prohibition, it was Tzarchi Rabim. There was room to be matir, but Bennett, there's no such thing as a Shabbos Kli. That is an oxymoron. The Chachamim forbade you from asking a non-Jew to do what's forbidden to you on Shabbos, except for in circumstances. You can't have a Shabbos Kli walking around doing the dirty work for a Jew. That's usser. If and when things work out in such a way, you maybe can ask.
Okay, now what happened today? For instance, St. Barbara, which has a slew of anti-Semitism, they left a towel on the floor, and the people are walking around. They're going to take it and they're going to use it for a shmata, wash their clothes.
That's a very interesting question. There is a sugya in the Gemara that talks about tefillin in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Do you pick it up or not? We'll have to deal with that separately. But this morning I want to deal with the kid. Can we ask a kid on Shabbos, listen, the lights are not on. Can you put on the lights? Can we take the little baby towards the light and sort of push the baby into the light? Whoa! The lights went on. I wonder how that happened. I was looking over there and the lights went on over here. Is that okay or not? So in general, look at where it says introduction. We have to educate our kids before bar mitzvah to do what's right, both in the realm of positive commandments and the negative commandments. Positive commandments, right side of the page, Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Bet, Amud Aleph, says, Tana Rabbanan, Katana Yodea Lina'anea, Chayav Belulav. The minute the young child knows how to shake a lulav properly, you buy him a lulav and esrog. Yilehi Tatef, Chayav Betzitzit, when he knows how to put on a talis properly, front, back, etc., you buy him a talis. Lishmor tefillin, when he knows how to guard the tefillin, both put it on properly and guard it. Aviv lekech lo tefillin. Very subjectively, with positive commandments, it goes by each kid, whenever they're mature enough. Some kid could be mature at 6. Everyone here knows the various books about the great rabbis. When they were 3, they know the whole Shas. When they were 6, they got married. When they were 9, they had grandchildren. So someone like that, you educate earlier. But let's say a normative kid that at 6 is running away from school and is 9 is still playing soccer, maybe around 10, 11, you start doing these things. And just to finish this, Bruce, in the realm of negative commandments, it's a bit different. Says the Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, and I quoted the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Mem Gimel, which is a siman about Shabbos. Katan ochel nevelot, en beitin mitzuvin lahafrisho, aval aviv mitzaveh ligorbo v'lahafrisho. If you see a young child eating non-kosher, and he's a Jewish kid, you don't have to do anything. It's his business. Who has to do something?
His parents.
His parents. Now, take the coin otherwise. If it's a very nice adult Jew eating non-kosher, do we do it, don't we do it, etc. That's a different story. But quite frankly, that's the better thing. But a kid? Not your business. The father has to educate the kid. It's not your business until he becomes bar mitzvah. Once he becomes bar mitzvah, it becomes your business, Bruce. Let's just finish this. Having said that, you can't actually feed him a cheeseburger. Okay? So you don't feed him, but if he's eating a cheeseburger, you can look the other way. Says the Ramah, the Yeshomim the Chose Bekatan Shlo Yel Lechinuch, but Yel Lechinuch Tzachim Lafrisho. And some people say, no, if the kid is young, you don't have to do anything, except for the father. But if he already Yel Lechinuch, he's educated, let's say he knows how to shake a lulav, then you have to say something. The Yeshomim, and some say the Ramah says, the Lo Shaya Chinuch Lebeitin El La'av Bilvat. And some say the whole Chinuch issue is again for the parent, not for the Beit and not for the Jewish people. So in general, when a kid is educated and mature, you start educating him to do positive commandments. From his onset, namely from the minute he gets into the world, you don't have to stop a young child from doing an Aveira, but the father does. So, based on this, can a father encourage a kid to go ahead and Mechalel Shabbos?
No. Probably not.
But what's chinuch, the oraisa or the rabbanon? The rabbanon, namely, until we're bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, we don't have to do mitzvahs. Mid the rabbanon, the chachamim said there's a mitzvah of chinuch. But on a the oraisa level, do we have to stop a kid from doing it? No. This is all the rabbanon. Now we're going to get to our story because there's an exception to the rule. Yeah.
Every leniency, every kula has the other flip side. And he says, cooler. For example, in this case, to be lenient on Shabbat is being
mocked
by kavod to parents.
Say again?
To be lenient in this case by having a machal Shabbat is also the flip side, is being machma, a kavod to your parents.
You're right. Bruce is saying that it's a mitzvah of kibud horim. Yeah. So you're saying no to a parent. On the other hand, you're saying no because of a mitzvah. I would have said, well, we have to balance them. Kamash malan, thank you so much. Kamash malan, no. Do you know Parshat Kedoshim? You heard of it?
Yes.
Okay. It says in the first pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim, third pasuk to be precise, Ishimo va'aviv tirao ve'et shabtotai tishmoru ani Hashem. Honor your parents and keep Shabbos. Yeah. Why are they written in the same pasuk?
Because
that's called
a
hekesh. Because if they tell you to violate a law, there's no kibud horim.
That's an adult. That's an adult kid. I don't think they would apply to a minor child.
So you're saying a minor child, you don't educate him to do what he's supposed to do when he's an adult?
You want to also educate him to give kavod to parents?
Bruce is quoting a Gemara in Eruvin, the Hava Amina, not bet, that says, you know, you would have thought on Yom Kippur you should make Kiddush, but you can't drink the wine, so what we can do is get a little kid to come in and drink the wine. Kamash malan not. Why? Because then he'll think when he's bar mitzvah that every year on Yom Kippur after Kol Nidre I drink wine. So there was an assumption, like you said, kamash malan not. So in general, we educate the kids when they're old enough to do mitzvos, and averas, we have to stop them if we're a parent. And that's all on a derabbanan level. Now let's get to a do raisa, the exception to everything I just said. Bar bar mitzvah do raisa, under derabbanan, now's the exception. Harold, you had a question?
No?
No. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't mess around with a coin, you should know that. Okay, you may need him one day in the base of Migdash. You want to get on his good side. Gentlemen is an exception to the rule, not derabbanan, but d'oraisa. It's this week's parsha. Not only is it this week's parsha, it's in one of the more famous parts of the Torah. What am I speaking about? Have you gone into shul and seen in the front of the shul these two tablets? They are called the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. One of the ten is the mitzvah of Shabbos. And it says there, the Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat LaHashem Elokecha, the seventh day is for the Lord your God. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha ata uvincha uvitecha. Don't do any of the 39 prohibitive acts. You, anyone want to translate?
Your son and your daughter.
Says the Gemara in Yevamos, and I quote, Katan haba lechabot. A young child is about to put out the fire in the house. A fire erupted. So the young child is going and putting out the fire on Shabbos. We tell him, do not put out the fire, because the responsibility of him Sabbathing, resting on the seventh day, is upon you. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. That's only in a situation where he's doing it because the father wants him to do it. Namely, on Shabbos, unlike the rest of the mitzvah of Chinuch, there's an exception to the rule. The malachot of Shabbos, not making Kiddush, but rather not putting on the lights, etc. You're not allowed to tell a little kid to do mide oraisa. It says it in the Aseret HaDibrot. Well, let me put it more tangible. It says it in the Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Now everyone's going to go, oh, yeah, right. You know the Kiddush on Shabbos morning is Borei Pri HaGafen. Everything we say before is a minhag. But many people like to say that long recitation, Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKodesho, etc., etc., etc. And it says these words. So therefore, Shabbos is the exception. Even if the kid is young, you're not allowed him to violate Shabbos, because it says in the Pasuk, Ata you, Uvincha, Uvitecha. Well, let's see the parameters of that law. Where on Shabbos, we want the kid to fix the timer so the heat goes on. Here's a pasuk in the Chumash, not rocket science. What do we do? Rav Shechter once said he thinks Lo Tignov, which is in Aseres HaDibros, would have much more... How can I say this nicely? I want to say it nicely. I'm looking for the world. It would be fulfilled much more by the Jewish people had it been a Chumrah and a Mishnah Berurah under the Shaar HaTzion. But Lo Aleinu, it's in the Chumash and Aseret HaDibros. Everyone thinks, well, nice, but an option. I have to do the Chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah. But Lo Tignov, no. So this is a Pasuk in Chumash. Now we have to understand what are the parameters. And there's three points of view. You look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Oseh Dat Aviv. A kid violating Shabbos on his own is subject to what we said at the beginning of the shir. If you're the father, if you're the beis din, etc. But if you do it because the father or the mother wants you to do it, the Gemara seems to say not. Now, what are the parameters of that? Three points of view. Point of view number one, the father and the mother are not even in the room. But you know that if they were home and there was a fire, they'd get very nervous and they would want you to put it out on a regular day of the week. So you do it on Shabbos on their behalf. Says the Ramban on Chumash, he's harhainu b'Shabbat, shelo yaseh abanim haktanim melacha ledaateinu b'irtzoneinu. That on Shabbos it's forbidden to ask our child to do something that we want to be done, and even we think of it being done. Namely, you don't even have to be in the room. The very fact that you look at the child in a certain way, you wink, and he does something, or you don't even wink, you're not in the room at all. That's already a prohibition of Shabbos. The Rashba on the Gemara says, "Katan shebal lechabot en shomim lo." V'okim de b'Gemara bekatan alser dat aviv klomar. V'over beze mishum lo tase melacha talvintecha. Rashba, very simple. If you're doing it for your father or mother's sake, even if they didn't ask you, not even in the room, they're in shul. Absolutely forbidden. And the Shaar HaTzion of the Mishnah Berurah says, La'aniyutati, in my humble opinion, he believes that's exactly the pshat of the Gemara. So he doesn't have to even be in the room. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two, he has to actually be in the room. Why does he have to be in the room? Anyone want to suggest?
Well, if he's not there having the kid, no, we can't see.
Exactly. What are we? We have Ruach HaKodesh? We don't know what's happening. We're in shul. What, is it my fault that my kid put on the light? I'm in shul. But if I'm in the room and the heat's not on, then I say, "Ay, it's so cold in here." And then my lovely, very devoted child goes over to the heat and puts it on. And you just don't say anything. You're just in the room looking, smiling. That's the problem. Why? Because, Bruce, you would have said it's not a problem. I didn't ask him. Kamash Malan from the Pasuk, it is a problem. Shvitato Alehem. It's your responsibility as a parent to make sure that everyone in your household rests on Shabbos. Says the Rashi on the Gemara, Shatinok Tzofe Be'aviv, the child is looking at the father, and he sees that he's smiling, that he wants you to do whatever it is you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And the father's there. The Ritva, same idea. So it's not enough that you want, you know your parent wants you to do it. You have to actually be in the room. If you're not in the room, it's not your business. But if you're in the room, you have to stop them. So opinion number one is, as long as I know my mother or my father want it, it's forbidden. And the second opinion is a little more lenient. They have to actually be there without saying anything. Yeah, Bruce.
Is there such a category where you yourself are machmer? Let's say muksa is a category. And we know there's a lot of opinions on muksa.
Right.
And in this case, without saying directly, could your kid like fix the problem related to muksa?
Ah, very interesting. And there's an opinion that says that you're allowed to touch it in this particular situation, and you're machmir, you say you don't think so?
I'm machmir, but your son, you know.
So it really depends on the house you have. Certain people have one minhag in the house, v'yehima. This is what we do, that's it. Rashi Tevot Ashkenaz. You know what Rashi Tevot Ashkenaz stand for? Anyone ever figured that? Why is it called Ashkenaz? You know what it stands for? Ein She'ilot Kacha Nohagim Zeu. This is the minhag, keep your mouth shut. Don't start asking me questions. Don't mix me up with the facts. This is it. But if you're pluralistic like me, Bruce, then I tell my kids, we're a pluralistic house. Our pluralism ends when you violate halacha. But if there's an opinion that allows, an opinion that doesn't allow, I present the opinions, and I tell my kids, what do you think? And if they believe this is correct, okay. So for example, Shalashuddis. There's an opinion that says you have to eat lechem mishnah like Friday night, Shabbos morning. Another opinion says it's good enough to have one challah. A third opinion says it's good enough to have mizonos. A fourth opinion says it's good enough to even have fish. And the fifth opinion says an erev Shabbos, which is an erev on Shabbos, which is an erev Pesach, is good enough to say Divrei Torah. Now, you go into a house, certain house will say, we do one thing of that of the five. In my house, I tell my kids, these are the five opinions. Illegitimate not to eat Shalashuddis. Illegitimate. But if you even say Divrei Torah to the Lechem Mishnah, everyone do what you think is right. That's the pluralistic house. Other people are not so tolerant. It was really up to you. I'm tolerant personally. In my house, I can have chumras, kulas. I tell my kids within the mizgeret of halacha, it's okay. They use the dud shemesh on Shabbos, they use the hot water. I'm machlokes, I've never come to the conclusion. I just started to be machmir, me. But as we say in Yiddish, machmir is for Falmil alein, for me. Okay? I didn't tell my house, no one used the hot water. But it's really up to you. That's not a case we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. Not at all. If someone allows it, then obviously we're not talking about someone. No one allows it. Mm-hmm. The first scenario is the father's not even in the house, and the kid knows this is what daddy wants. The second scenario is, no, he actually be in the room. And the third scenario is the father has to actually say it or do something to indicate to the kid, put on the light. Look at the words of the Chasam Sofer. Aval ben sheyesh lo dat. You know, a good firm father doesn't tell his kid to violate Shabbos. He winks at the kid. There's the light. Or, not kritzot, rebziotav. He starts hinting, you know, my dear son, I'm cold. I don't know why I'm cold. Oh, look at that, the heat is not on. And the kid understands already, all right. Okay, we, by the way, Bennett, we deal with this with regard to asking a guy on Shabbos. Same idea. When you're allowed to ask a guy, can you actually tell him directly or indirectly? But back to our story, says the Chasam Sofer, the father has to actually say something or hint something. It's not good enough to be in the room. It's not good enough even that you know your father wants it. You have to actually induce it. Rabbi Akiva Eger says the same thing about Imma Seh Tinok Al Data Gadol Medina Aser. And then the Bir Alacha says, the Masha Amru Shah Sobe Katana Oseh Al Data Aviv, who rock me divrei sofrim kivan shenom mitzaveh beferush laseh. Says the Bir Alacha, the Mishnah Bura, if indeed the father does nothing, and the kid does it anyway, that's the Rabbanan. The father has to teach the kid to be a good Jew. But Mida Oraisa begins when? What's the opposite of kivan she'eino mitzavehu?
Mitzaveh.
So we have three opinions. Opinion number one is, I don't care where the father or the mother is, as long as you know, the kid knows, this is what daddy and mommy would want, usher. Second, he has to actually be in the room. Third opinion, he has to actually say something or wink something or indicate something to tell the kid, violate Shabbos. So based on what we said until now, if it's indeed all the other prohibitions in the Torah, we have, Baruch Hashem, many prohibitions in the Torah. How many? This we should know, because there's no machlokas. How much? Very good. Kishasa, Shin Samechei. 365 prohibitions. 364 of them, if the kid is doing them, we have to say, are we the father? No, not my business. Right? But the 365th one, Shabbos, that's different. That's the horaisa. You have to make sure the kid keeps Shabbos. And we saw machlokas. Well, is that only if the father induces him to do it? If the father's physically in the room? Well, you don't need neither. The very fact that you know your father wants it, that's the prohibition. So, from this perspective, we can end the shiur here. If it's a biblical prohibition of the Torah on Shabbos, be it threshing the ground, borer in a forbidden way, or I'll give you the biggest case scenario. I was just talking last night to my students that today when we say Shomer Shabbos, it usually means only the Rabbanans, because no one's threshing the field, no one's planting on Shabbos. What are they might be doing? When you see a store that says Shomer Shabbos, what does it mean? He's closed on Shabbos. Not doing business on Shabbos. The Raisa, the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan. So it's interesting. Today, the majority of our Shabbos is mostly the Rabbanan because we don't even have the motivation, let alone the Hava Amina, the assumption, I'm going to go out and plant on Shabbos. Well, if that's being the case, when it comes to the majority of our Shabbos, this is irrelevant. We're not telling the kid to do a biblical prohibition. Let's take one biblical prohibition many people do. You're sitting at the Shabbos table Friday night. You have a white tablecloth with red wine. I don't know who is the moron out there that decided red wine, white tablecloth. But someone understood this is the way to keep Shabbos or the Seder. And in the middle of the Shabbos meal, Murphy's Law number 28 says the wine is going to spill. I have seen in my life very devout Jews, Jews that care about halacha, that went and said, right away, take a little seltzer, put it on it, and we'll wash it. That's a biblical prohibition on Shabbos called libun, laundering. So if you indeed have a tablecloth and the red wine spilled on it, you cannot tell a kid to do it, or even be in the room when the kid does it. Or if the kid does it, and you're in shul, to come home and say, no, bad thing, don't do that again. But how many biblical prohibitions do we have? What was the example I gave at the beginning of the day? Putting on the timer. That's the Rabbanon. It's electricity, according to most poskim. Harold listened. Talisbeg in a karmelis, which is a Rishus HaRabim. The Rabbanon, carrying it, is the Rabbanon. Is all this Only in Doraisas or also in Derabanans? Turn the page and you will see. Beautiful Gemara in Meseches Yevamos. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna Irkas Ulei Meftecha de Bemidrasha Bereshus Harabim Bishapta. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna lost the keys to the Beis Medrash on Shabbos. Then he found the keys. The keys were in the middle of the street, but he didn't see them. He assumed, I dropped them here. Ata lekame de Rav Pedat. They come to Rav Pedat. Amar Le, Rav Pedat says to Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, I have an idea. Zil davar tali vitalia. Get me a young child, girl or boy. Ve'letelu hatam. And tell him to play over there, in that corner, where I think I lost the keys. De'imishkachat lehu, mighty lehu. Because if they find the keys, they'll bring it to you. And then you'll be able to open the shul, and you'll be able to daven mincha and give your lecture. Some people say they'll listen, some people will fall asleep. You're doing a good service for the Jewish people. Either you're allowing them to rest or allowing them to learn Torah. But notice, he didn't say to the kids, pick it up. He said, here, why don't you play over here? And they're going to be playing ball, and then they're going to, oh, look at that, there's keys, and they'll bring it to you. Good idea. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Alma kesavar, from here we can deduce, katan ochel nevelot, and beit mitzvin lafrisho. If we see indeed a young child doing an iser, as we started this year, not your business. Not your business. If he's over bar mitzvah yet, under bar mitzvah, no. Lema misayele, and I'll bring you a proof. Lo yomar adam litinok, a person should not say to a young child, havili mafteach, havili chotam, bring me the keys. You can't say that. Ela minichol, tolesh minichol zoreak. What does he do? He puts the keys on the ground. Right? He can't carry them. And the kid picks them up using his own brain and volition. All right, so what do we learn from here?
They can have a kid do something, right?
Yeah, this goes against the whole first part of the shir. Gemara says, no, it doesn't. Amar Abaye, Tolesh Batzicheno, Nakuv Zorik Bekamelit Derabanan. We're not talking here about a Deoraisa. We're talking about a Derabanan, for example. A Rishus Harabim, Deoraisa. You couldn't do anything. We learned at the beginning of the shir. Let's take Lechumra. Even if the father doesn't say anything, you can't tell the kid, or you can't, to be more precise, the kid can't do it. Here we're talking about a derabanan, not a rishus harabim d'oraisa, a rishus harabim derabanan. Now we're all devout Jews around this table, right? Why is d'oraisa derabanan with carrying so important to us? What do we care? What do we care? We can't do this. We can't do that. You can't carry arba amot b'rishus harabim. So that means d'oraisa derabanan. What's the nafkamina, Bruce? I'll tell you the nafkamina. The nafkamina is: can you build an eruv? If it's a Rishus HaRabim de Oraisa, you can't build an Eruv with the lines. You have to actually put up gates, a wall. But if it's a Rishus HaRabim de Rabbanan, we're Mekel, you can put up those lines, called what we call the Eruv. So it's important for us to know if it's a de Oraisa de Rabbanan. Second Nafkamina, this. Can you tell a kid, hey, go play over there? I'm not telling you to violate Shabbos. Go play over there. And he goes and plays over there, and lo and behold, he picks up the keys.
What if he doesn't pick up the keys?
All right. Really, then you've got yourself a problem. I, by the way, had that situation many times.
It makes no sense.
Where you went ahead and you're allowed to, when you're allowed to, hint to a non-Jew, and they don't get the hint. They don't get the hint. It's the old joke. You tell a non-Jew, it's so cold in here. Oh, that's nice. Well, really, we're not allowed to put on the heat on Shabbos. Oh, I didn't know that. And this goes on and on and on. Finally, the Jew can't stand it. And he looks at the guy and he says, that guy is a cup. He doesn't get it at all. And he walks away. No, gentlemen, with due respect, it happens. It happens, but you're taking a chance. My question then, it is not if he understands. My question is, how is this allowed? It seems from the Gemara, if it's a derabanan, it's okay. The Rashba is quick to point out on this Gemara, Uvishel divrehem, afilu lichatchila sufilu. Meaning, if it's a derabanan, you can actually take, say, chicken and milk, and according to this Rashba, pshat the Rashba, give it to him. Feed it to him. Not meat and milk. Derabanan, chicken and milk. Here, have a bite.
So according to this Gemara, the kid can turn on.
According to this Gemara, if it's only electricity, he would be able to turn it on. And according to this Gemara, the father was right. If the talis bag is in a Carmelite, he should pick it up. Is it good chinuch? It's probably bad chinuch. But halachically, I can't say it's forbidden. That's maybe why Rabbi Yaakov didn't say forbidden. He said, how can you punish a kid when he doesn't want to desecrate Shabbos? an educational point of view, not a halachic point of view. But halachically, let's see. And here's a machlokes rishonim and achronim. The Mordechai says as follows. Listen to this scenario. Keshetinok mevia mafteach imo, when that kid actually bought the key, the mutal likacha mafteach veliftoach hapetach. He can take it out of his hand and open the door. But, listen to this. Because what happens is, when you get to the door, there isn't an overhang on the door that goes out for either Amud or Tfachim Machlokas, but rather, it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. You're in the Rishus HaRabim, and you open the door to your house. Let's say it's a private home on the main street. That's okay. But, how does the door open? Doesn't open outwards, it opens inwards. The minute you put the key in it and you open it inwards, you just took something from the public domain and put it in the private domain. So what do you have to do? Open the door and make sure to take the key out before you actually open the door. You can unlock the door but not open it. Well, the Mordechai is telling me this, and I'm looking, okay, this is the way we open the door. What is he not saying here in any which way?
That
the kid can't bring you the key. Why didn't he say the kid can't bring you the key? Because the Gemara seemed to say the kid can bring you the key. Ah, from here deduces the Taz. Umash Baba Mordechai. Look at the bolded words. She is heter. Lavi ayidei tino kamafteach kemo ayidei akum. Non-Jew kid. If it's the Rabbanan, you need the key to open the shul. It's okay. All right. Wow. The Tiferet Yisrael says the same. Who's the Tiferet Yisrael? What? Very good. Wow. How did you know that so fast, like this?
We just started the other day.
Ah, nice. You're an honest man. Rav Lifshitz, he was the rabbi of many communities. Eventually, the community of Danzig, very important community in Germany of that time. He lived from 1782 to 1860, meaning close to the 20th century. He wrote a beautiful parish on what?
Mishnayis.
It's called Yachin Uvoas. In a few weeks, I'm going to come in, give everyone a quiz. Where does that word's taken from? Because we're going to read it in the Parsha.
Pillars of the first temple.
The first temple. The two what?
Two pillars.
Excellent. Listening to Kriyas HaTorah, too. This is good. You listen to classes and Kriyas HaTorah, and you remember. This is amazing. I just had a big debate last night regarding Daf Yomi. Someone says they read Daf Yomi like davening. They just read it and they leave. They don't understand the word. They don't retain. Well, here is it. He's retaining all the information. Bruce is doing well. Well, he wrote a Perush on the Mishnah. In his introduction to Eruvin, his Perush on the Mishnah, says Rabbi Lifshitz the following words. Yeshli palea gaon hanal, neiro ya'ir. I'm very surprised about this particular rabbi. Now you understand, when a certain person says, I'm surprised, and he says, neiro ya'ir, may his light be shown, you understand he's about to attack him. So he says, this rabbi said to me, that with due respect, a kid cannot bring a machzer to shul when there's no Eruv, and the Rishus HaRabim is only the Rabbanan. All due respect, what are you talking about? If Tisha B'Av, there's a bris, we can't eat, we give it to a kid to drink. Not on Yom Kippur, I said, Eruv and Daf Mem says no. Tisha B'Av, fast the Rabbanan, we give it to a kid to drink. So, Avshe ain't the takanator raketakanateno. He doesn't need the sitter to daven from. I need it, but I can tell him to bring it for me. Same thing on Tisha B'Av. I don't need him to drink the wine. He doesn't need to drink the wine. He hates wine. Why am I telling him to drink the wine? Because I don't want to say a bracha levatala. Me. I want to say Berei Pri Yagof and have someone drink. Milvadze. Memichilat kvodo hagadol. Okay, here comes the real attack. When you give him more superlatives, the attack gets worse. Memichilat kvodo hagadol. What do those words mean? Asking forgiveness from his great honor. You understand that the attack is coming. Everyone ready? Forget about my deducing it from Tisha B'Av. With due respect, he must have forgotten a very explicit source. What's the source? From our holy rabbis. We drink from their waters. We stand on their shoulders. Hey, Mahagiborim, the great Mordechai and Taz, I just quoted, that said it at the Rabbanon, it's no problem. But if you look on the left side of the page, I found this great Gaon. It's interesting. It didn't say it, but I found it. Who is the great Gaon? Anyone? Who is the Tiferet Yisrael attacking? Calling him great words, but attacking him. Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger dug up a Ran, and the Ran says the whole heter of this Gemara that we read is not all derabbanans, but rather it has to be two things. A derabbanan, and it's for the kid's sake, not for your sake. You'll also enjoy it, but it has to be for his sake. Namely, the case from Tisha B'Av is wrong. If he wants to drink grape juice, he likes grape juice, great. We'll kill two birds with one stone. We won't make a bracha levatol, and the king will have a drink. But if it's just for us, namely, we need to open the shul for our lecture, the kid's going to continue to play outside, you can't ask the kid to do it. That's what the Ran says. The whole Gemara is in a situation in which the kid wants it. Like, let's say there's shalosh shudas in the shul, and you need the key. So he wants to eat, and you want to eat. But if not, the Ran and Rabbi Akiva Iger both say, only, and I quote, Da'af laharash basafina le rak litzarko. We can't do it if it's only for us. It has to be for his sake. Just like, bringing it back to a non-Jew, if a non-Jew on Shabbos is in a room with me and puts on the heat and he sits in the room because he's cold and now he's warm, I can also enjoy the heat. But if he's just walking by and sees, oh, you must be cold, I'll put on the heat. That's us, sir. So we have a beautiful machlokas. If in a derabanan, and we actually ask the kid to do something that violates Shabbos, mi derabanan, or no, that's only in one scenario. That it's for his sake, and also our sake. But if it's only for our sake, then absolutely not. For example, there's a lecture, 25 people are outside, the 26th is a kid, the kid doesn't want to listen to a lecture, he doesn't like to learn Torah, he especially doesn't like that rabbi, and you tell him to open the door, according to the Ran and Rabbi Akiva Iger, no, and according to the Mordechai and the Taz, with Tiferet Yisrael, they say, okay, as long as it's a Rishut HaRabim DeRabbanan.
So then what do you, Mazgan?
Mazgan is DeRabbanan.
It's DeRabbanan, so technically they can have the kid do it.
If the kid is cold. But if the kid is not cold, he's fine, he's not cold, he has a sweater on, he's good. You can't ask him, according to everyone. But if he happens to be cold, you can ask him. But if he isn't cold, machlokas. At the end of the day, I want to just say, we saw that in general, when do you have to go ahead and tell a kid not to do a prohibition? Usually it's just the parent. Shabbos is the exception in the realm of Doraisas. There are abundance, we saw machlokas. Maybe you can ask him directly. For sure, if it's for his sake. If it's not for his sake, machlokas. But after saying all of this, I want to just say the following. We are sitting here in class, and we're talking about Doraisas, there are abundance, and this and that, and a pilpul. I don't think kids understand all of this. I really don't think that 9, 8, 7, 6, you're going to start telling them, in this case, with this, when you're standing on one foot with a leg in the air, I think it's bad education to go ahead and tell a kid from a very early age, hey, put on the lights on Shabbos. It's only derabbanan, it's a lead. Hey, put on the mazgan, it's only derabbanan. Now again, if necessary, like in that shul, perhaps it's okay if the kid is cold for sure. But I believe you have to explain to him afterwards why it was okay. So when he gets older, he doesn't think, I come into shul on Shabbos, I say hello to Mr. Candyman, I sit in my seat, I look who's the chazan, I say, oh my gosh, he's the chazan, I'm going to be here all day, and I put on the mazgan. That's Shabbos morning 101. That's going to be a problem. So I debate with all of this and say, maybe it's just not a good idea. But halachically, we learn together that Shabbos is an exception, and we learn when the exception is not an exception. Question.
When somebody comes from, when somebody, we had a boy in the room, and you say, it's cold here in Yiddish, and then you say, in English or whatever it was, it's cold here, and then the boy goes and turns down the light because he's
correct.
Cold too.
Correct. That is one of the exceptions to Maaseh Akum on Shabbos, that you can ask a non-Jew to put on the heat if it's cold. As the Chachamim quipped, HaKol Cholim Etzel Tzina. For someone sick in bed, you can ask a non-Jew to go to the pharmacy and get medicine on Shabbos, Adirabanan. So too, the Chachamim said, if it's for cold and it's very, very cold, you can ask a non-Jew. Not so with a kid. Not so with a kid.
Exactly, yeah.
If you hold by this view of not being pluralistic,
yeah,
and your parents are visiting, they're very pluralistic.
Yeah.
Do they trump the situation if they want to go utilize one of the little kids? Because they believe in a more pluralistic view.
I believe so. then what you said earlier is indeed the balance. It's a balance between Kibud Horim and Chumrus.
Right.
And I believe Kibud Horim would trump it. But if your kid, if indeed your parents would say to a kid, violate Shabbos, that's a problem.
Right.
But if he says, no, no, not violate Shabbos. The Rana Pia Yerushalmi says it's okay. By the way, I once saw this happen, and I got very agitated that what I saw. There was parents visiting on Shabbos, and the mother had some sort of a virus, I don't know what, so the children in the kugel, she couldn't eat. So the daughter quipped, and the daughter-in-law, excuse me, quipped and said, well, in the refrigerator, there's some chicken without too many seasoning. She says, that I can handle. Can you put it on the platter? The father of the house says, no, we can't put it on the platter on Shabbos. It has to be above something. All the dinei hachazara. And the mother said, what do you mean? I do it every Shabbos. Take it out of the refrigerator, put it on the platter. They were both right. The father was saying you can't put things directly on the platter. Either you need a real chulen pot with food under it, or you need an empty pot under it. That's one point of view. The other point of view is, well, as long as it was on the fire on Erev Shabbos at that time, you can put it back on Shabbos morning, even though in between it was in the refrigerator. But Rav Avadya Yosef says, if it's a platter, do what you want. So they were both right. And the father stopped the mother, and I felt agitated, because as you said, Kibud Horim does trump our opinion in halacha when there's another opinion that allows it. All right, gentlemen, we should all keep Shabbos, and throughout Hashem, never have to deal with telling kids to do what's forbidden.